Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Post Acute Point of View podcast, our discussion hub for healthcare technology in the out-of-hospital space. Here, we talk about the latest news and views on trends and innovations that can impact the way post-acute care providers work. We'll also dive into how technology can make a difference in today's changing healthcare landscape for home and facility-based workers and the people they care for. Let's dive in.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Post-Acute Point of View podcast. My name is Jeremy Crow, and I'm the head of RCM and Survey here at Matrix Care. We're excited to have Armine Kadadran, CEO and co-founder of Quapi Plus, and Trish Weber, manager of coding and documentation review services. Today, we'll be talking about Quapi services and why quality matters. So let's kick it off today, Armine. Tell us a little bit about your background and your history in the home health and hospice market.
Sure. Thank you, Jeremy, and great to be on the podcast with you, Trish. My career started in acute care nursing. I was an ER nurse. At the time, I was in graduate school studying data management, the use of data in performance improvement, and I was on the medication management committee. I had an emergency medication error come through the ER that came from a home health nurse administering wrong medication to a patient. When this error occurred, we always talk about the Swiss cheese model in healthcare errors. I really saw it come to life, how certain system failures can occur to have an error happen. When I told the nurse to bring the bottle of medication, what she thought she injected was vitamin B12. What she handed to me was an unlabeled bottle of epinephrine, which was a pharmacy error. Had she done one of the patient right, this error could have been prevented. But her response was one patient, one medication, whose else could this be? So she had failed to follow policy and failed to do this one check that led to this event. So this really attracted me to home care. And I thought this would be a great opportunity for me to do some of this work I do in acute care in medication safety and management in home care. So that's how I ended up in the home care industry and in data management quality improvement.
Great. And so then you did quality consulting and Quapi consulting for different agencies. How long did you do that?
So I did that for about 20 years. When I started to work with individual organizations, I found that it would be more impactful. The more organizations I worked with, the more errors or system failures I would have the ability to witness and participate in. So then I would take all of this information and disseminate it to all of the organizations. What I learned early on is that everyone can benefit from learning from everyone's mistakes, if you will. So then I really started to develop this culture of safety or errors in healthcare are system problems, not individual problems, just helping organizations get into this mindset.
So somewhere along the way, you decided, let's create a software program, right? So tell us a little bit about that journey and how that came about.
I was finding that everyone around me was getting a software, right? Clinical documentation used to be completely on paper. Then the EMRs came about and everyone had technology backing them up except me. My work was still very painfully manual. I was spending countless hours. As a nurse, I used to joke that I'm the highest paid data miner. As a nurse, I used to spend more time putting the graphs together, putting this information in binders for leadership, doing more administrative tasks than really using my expertise in making data-driven decision-making and really using the data. I was putting the data together. So I was fortunate enough to meet Lara Kryan, my co-founder, our CTO, and we got together. We developed Quapi Plus, and the rest is history.
Excellent. So Quapi Plus came to be, and how long have you been offering this software? How long did it take you to get it to what we'd call generally available GA? So tell us a little bit about that journey so far.
So we started our journey together in 2019. The first usable version of Quapi Plus went live in February of 2020. I had seven of my clients who were my consulting clients who were willing to try this new way of doing data management. So I call them my lucky seven. So they signed up for the software. And of course, the world shut down in March of 2020 and all surveys went virtual. And at the time, the Joint Commission was doing their surveys virtually. All of these documents needed to be loaded into SharePoint for them to check. And Poppy Plus was just there at the right time to serve that need. So these organizations who were signed up to Poppy Plus were able to just submit a username and a password for the surveyor. And so it took some time for the Joint Commission to really grasp and understand and accept this process. And it was very well received by surveyors, by organizations. So really from 2020 is when we went live with the software, and the software has been evolving and changing.
Excellent. Tell us, and congratulations, by the way, it's a great story. So tell us a little bit how the partnership with Matrix Care came about with Quapi Plus and what people could expect from that.
Of course. So when I think of a partnership, it's like a shared responsibility, almost two organizations coming together, bringing in tools and expertise, right? Matrix Care team can bring in years and years of expertise, and Quapi Plus can provide automated, robust tools for systematic management and gap analysis in organizations. So I look at it as almost like a unified commitment to excellence when these two companies come together and partner.
Great. And then how long have you been working with Matrix Care on this partnership? What would our customers expect out of using Quapi Plus?
So this partnership, we began in 2024. And some of the key advantages I see with this partnership is really improved efficiency, automating compliance and quality assurance. This can really reduce a lot of administrative burden. This can allow staff to focus on more patient care rather than manual data collection and reporting. It can increase a provider's regulatory confidence, I say, so they can be assured that not only do they have the tools, but they also have the expertise behind their data management. Of course, it lends itself to a lot of operational cost savings, better decision-making. The use of these powerful dashboards can provide actionable insights, so it can help organizations really put actions into place and not just have data to have data, right? Because at some point we have data overload. There's data from everywhere. How do you use that data? Which data do you use? What do you improve first? That's where the value comes in.
Excellent. So to your point, there's no absence of data in the industry. And probably 20 years ago, there was a phrase, data is the new currency. We're actually changing that a little bit for home health, specifically coining the phrase quality is the new currency, as it has more impact to reimbursement. Just share your reaction to that, how quality is the new currency and what in the industry.
So this idea of quality being a reactive process is changing. So we used to be responsive. We used to wait for something to happen, and then we would have quality teams respond to it. So this entire landscape is changing. It's really about proactive improvement and prevention, right? So it's really about analyzing this kind of constant auditing and oversight, continuous compliance is what we talk about, right? So proactively knowing where the gaps are and where the root causes are. We've built audits that let the organization learn about their own root causes, let the data do the speaking for them. So then it's really about preventing errors. We think about layers of protection, right? You have your policies, your procedures, your training, your technology, and all of these layers can have holes in them. And when these holes align is when problems and errors happen. So the idea is to bridge these gaps, close the holes, be as strong as possible in a proactive way so that you don't have to react. So that's the change. And it also aligns with survey, right? Before, there used to be this concept of survey preparedness. My survey's approaching, so I should start preparing. So those days are gone, right? It's really about being continuously prepared, knowing your gaps, closing your gaps. So this idea of continuous compliance in a proactive way is where I think of quality being as a currency.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you. Trish, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. What's your reaction to that phrase, quality is the new currency, and how do you see that impacting our agencies?
I feel like for home health, especially, quality is definitely driving payment in so many different areas, whether it's your coding, your OASIS completion and how you're answering those questions. And then not only that, but the compliance end of it. If you were not doing well with your documentation and you're getting denials for a patient not being homebound because you didn't document that well, or because you don't have a good face-to-face up on the front end, there's just so many things that the quality of your documentation is so important in making sure you're getting the payment you deserve for all the services you're providing. With value-based purchasing, there is a huge percentage, I believe it's 30-some percent, that's actually looking at just the patient's functional score. That is a really big chunk of whether you're going to show improvement to be able to get some positive incentive on that value-based purchasing, or end up in the negative on the value-based purchasing and actually having to give money back to Medicare. So certainly would not want that to ever happen.
For sure. Thank you.
That's great. I'd love to add something to that, Trish. That makes me think of this phrase, inspect what you expect. A lot of times we have these expectations in documentation, right, from clinicians. But I've learned over the years that unless there is some auditing, and this is where outside experts, when they come in and they audit an organization, is so valuable, right? Because sometimes you can have internal bias, or if your clinician is your compliance expert providing the care and the documentation, it's hard to see your own gaps, right? It's always great to have someone outsourced from the outside looking in and doing these audits. It really allows organizations to have clear expectations. You can set expectations through an audit tool. Every KPI that you expect, every OASIS answer that you expect clinicians to document accurately, you can create it into an audit. And then through this continuous inspection and having compliance rates documented, you can see if this is like, where's the root cause in this, right? Is this a training issue? More training needs to happen? Or is this a single clinician issue? Is this a buy-in issue? Maybe bedside clinicians are not aware of these quality metrics that as in leadership we look at. There might be a divide there. So it's really important for data to be transparent and in the hands of everyone from the bedside to the top. So it's very important to train nurses that there is an inspection and a feedback, right? So when you audit something and you give feedback to an organization once, twice, three times, it's going to click in a clinician that, oh, okay, this is important. I better start looking at this documentation and capture it accurately.
Perfect. And one thing you said there is buy-in, you know, how important that is. And I think that's important in every organization, whether it's Quapi services or a new software. To that point, Quapi Plus is a software program. The worst thing you can do is get it and then not adopt it.
Not use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how would you say an organization should prepare in order to best use Quapi Plus?
I would say it's a mindset, right? What I see most often, where I see organizations fail, is when they try to integrate their current process into the software. So trying to change everything about the software because they're trying to do their old processes onto the software instead of really learning how the software does it, right? Because the way the logic in the software was built to automate a lot of these manual tasks, sometimes I'll find organizations wanting to drop this information into Excel so that they can go and create different reports instead of using the reports that are in Copy Plus. So I think it's just a change, almost like change management. Organizations who have a robust way of doing change management and love change and are not afraid of change, right? It can be intimidating. Those are the organizations that really adopt it. Once it's adopted, I hear from clients saying, I don't know how I used to do it before. I don't even remember, and I don't even want to go back to that. So yeah. The idea is really to integrate quality assurance directly into the day-to-day operations. That's the only way. You have to weave in your work. Just do your work on the software instead of thinking of it as something else separate I need to do after I do my work.
Great. And I focused there on software, but I'm going to open this back to both Trish and you, Armine. If an agency was looking at getting assistance for Quapi services, that's your roots, Armine, how can an agency prepare for that? Or why would an agency even consider doing that? I have this person down the hall that could do this. She's not 100% busy. She could probably do that on the side. Why is that such a bad model? And why should an agency consider using a partner for Quapi services, and how could they prepare?
I really think outsourcing Quapi functions can be a game changer for an organization because it provides the organization with access to specialized expertise. Outsourced Quapi personnel are experts in compliance and they are objective. So they are not involved in the day-to-day operations. It's a completely third person outside of your organization view, and they can clearly see all of the gaps without having any bias. And that's very important. Also, a lot of the cost associated with housing an in-house quality expert can be very expensive. And when this person leaves, then replacing this person can also be very expensive, and it's not scalable. Let's say an organization is growing. They need to keep adding more expertise or more resources, and resources are tight now. Workforce management is tight now. Having an outside person, not only does it bring the value of the expertise and the value of having a bird's eye view to compliance, but also it allows the organization to increase their clinical resources, right? And so then their clinicians can spend more time on patient care, on the use of the data, instead of putting this data together. So I think it's very beneficial.
Excellent. Thank you. Trish, your thoughts on that. Why should an agency look to a partner for Quapi services, and how could they prepare for that?
Excuse me. I think having someone that is concentrating and focused on that, and it's not being done on the side of your desk and last minute getting ready for your quarterly meeting or getting ready for survey, as Armine mentioned, that does happen a lot in agencies where they're scrambling, thinking they've got a survey coming up and trying to put stuff to months and months of stuff together. But it is invaluable to have an outside view and to have people that are very experienced in the COPs and experienced in OASIS guidance that can really help you maximize your outcomes with value-based purchasing, with star ratings, provide education to your clinicians in those areas of completing the OASIS, looking at your coding to make sure you're maximizing your reimbursement. There are just so many things that we would be able to do to help with that.
Great. Thank you. And let's talk, there's always a large range of agencies. You have your 50 census and under, and then you have hundreds census multiple locations. How common are the problems? Are they, the same across all organizations, or are they specific to a smaller one versus a large organizations?
So the problems are common just for different reasons. I find that the smaller organizations lack that experience. They lack that skill set in compliance, and their regulatory knowledge may not be extensive. So then they really benefit from outsourced services and from tools that can help them into compliance. So some of the biggest challenges small organizations share with me is they never know if they're done being compliant. Do I have everything? Do I know everything? So they really love to have this outside guidance. For the larger organizations, they have this skill set and they have these quality experts in-house, but a lot of times these people wear different hats, right? And always, just like Trish said, this is like their job number four. And there are always at least three other priorities that are either clinical or claims-based or have some form of other priorities that goes before QAPI, education. So really having a dedicated person for compliance and quality and education makes a huge difference, makes a huge impact. At first, organizations think of it as a cost. And every single organization thinks of this as a cost until they experience the cost of not having this. And that's when they're like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Right. So it's always that the cost of not having it, the cost of not doing it, not being compliant is always much greater.
Excellent. Thank you. And kind of along the line of the cost of not having it, let's talk about a couple of scenarios, ADRs and audits, not trying to alliterate, but I'm going to. So what are some things that agencies can do to get ahead of compliance as it relates to ADRs and to avoid that? What are some things that agencies can do?
I think if agencies can have an expert in ADRs who can put together an audit, like a chart audit for them, like top 10 denial reasons, or how should your EOB look like? What are some of the requirements for a CTI, let's say? If an audit is built in organizations, really go through their charts proactively, right? Their admission process, their discharge process, and they really check off a basic checklist, and they really check off these processes and catch these gaps from going organization-wide, right? You don't want to have these errors going on for years, and then an ADR comes, and all of a sudden, because of one word, your EOB is not acceptable, and then your entire claim is denied. So it's very important to work elbow to elbow with a regulatory expert so that all of these issues can be prevented. Because always going to this with the thought process that you're going to have an ADR, right? This chart is going to be reviewed by somebody and denied by somebody. So you really have to make sure all of your documentation from the beginning, you do it right the first time around. And you really have this, again, inspection, expectation. And so this continuous cycle of auditing can really help organizations not collapse when an ADR comes around.
Great, great. Thank you. So let's talk about audits. What's the best practice approach to audits? And I'll open this up to Trish as well. If someone asked you how I should prepare or the right way to approach that, what would be your recommendation?
Typically, what we would recommend is 10% of your volume of patients quarterly of your census. And you can do full chart audits, which is what we would recommend. But then you can also do focus chart audits if there are certain areas that you're really weak on in your agency. Once you do those full chart audits and you've figured that out, then you can look at focused areas and do more audits on those certain areas. Face-to-face is the number one reason for denial. And then your care plan is the number one survey deficiencies. It's both the content of the care plan, that's the number one survey deficiency, and then following the plan of care is also another top 10 survey deficiencies. Those are both very important areas to be focusing on. You also want to focus on your outcomes, your process measure, your patient outcomes. All of those things are very important to look at with auditing. You want to look at those areas that are going to have a big financial impact with value-based purchasing, those questions that are going to have star rating impacts. And also another really big area that agencies struggle with that you want to look for in chart auditing is communication. There's oftentimes a huge miss with communicating between clinicians, communicating with the provider, communicating with outside agencies, communicating with your manager when it comes to recert, discharge, and even StarTCare. Is this appropriate patient for home health? And those things on the front end can cause your whole episode to be denied, which is you're not just missing out on a couple hundred dollars there because you missed a code, but you're missing out on thousands when you get the whole episode denied.
Thanks, Trish. Anything to add to that, Arminé?
Only thing I would add is maybe in the process, I've seen processes that have had really great results, and this is adding peer reviews. So every quarter, having clinicians review one or two charts from other clinicians and give each other feedback. And then once they go through this process, they really start to see these gaps and something clicks in them and it brings them to the table. So really being inclusive. I know this is easier said than done, but organizations who manage to do this type of work have seen some really great results. And also thinking about audits from a technical and a clinical point of view. So you can have a lot of technical, like your charts go through a lot of technical audits to at least make sure technically the charts are compliant, right? Are orders signed? Documentation is timely? Do you have everything you need to have? Then you can focus your clinical skill set in those clinical focused audits, looking at the quality of the care plan and how the care plan is followed. So auditing can be thought of in different ways and divided between different teams so that you can gain a lot of benefit from it.
Great. Excellent. Well, as we wrap up today, just talking about benefits, just recap top two or three benefits an organization could expect in partnering with Quapi Plus.
I think one of the greatest benefits would be to get rid of these data silos, we call them, as agencies may struggle with fragmented systems where quality initiatives and EHRs are not integrated. There are a lot of inefficiencies, so they can really benefit from having, we think of ourselves as almost like a technology partner, and we can work with the organization to give them the data or present the data in a usable format that's meaningful to them. So then they can have actionable steps and interventions to really improve their performance. Through this partnership, when we add this type of technology with expert-led individuals to come together and work with organizations, I think the impact is going to be great.
Great. Thank you. And Trish, I'll give you the same question. Top two or three reasons an agency should think about outsourcing Quapi services and what they could expect.
I think the best reason would be continuous compliance, as Arminé had said. You want to be ready for surveyors to walk in at any time and not be caught not ready for them. And then we can definitely help agencies improve their outcomes with their patients, which means improving their reimbursement.
Thank you, Trish. I think that pretty much takes up our time this morning. So Arminé, again, thank you for your time and your partnership. Trish, thank you for your time this morning. Thanks again for joining us at the Post Acute Point of View podcast, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
That concludes the latest episode of the Post-Acute Point of View podcast. We have a lot of guests and topics coming up that you won't want to miss, so be sure to subscribe. To learn more about Matrix Care and our solutions and services, visit matrixcare.com. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you for listening. Be well, and we'll see you next time.